പുമാൻ വേദവിദിത്സിതം യദ്വിജ്ഞാസയാ യുക്താ മുഹ്യന്തി കവയോപിഹി നാഹ്യസ്യ കർഹിചിദ് രാജൻ പുമാന് വേദവിദിത്സിതാം യദ്വിജ്ഞാസയാ യുക്താ മുഹ്യന്തി കവയോപിഹി. From the chapter, the passing away of Bhishma Dev, what is going on currently is a section where Yudhishthir Maharaj is bewildered after the war of Kurukshetra. He is lamenting that he was the cause of the war. Why so many soldiers were killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? It's all because of one man, me, myself. Because I wanted to be the king of the world. All the soldiers had to die from both the sides. So thinking like this, Yudhishthir Maharaj is lamenting. You know, Vedavyas is trying to pacify him. Lord Krishna is trying to pacify him. And at last, no one is able to pacify him. Then he is taken to Bhishma Pitama, who is lying in the arrow bed. He is going to undergo the Ichhamrityu, die according to his own will. At that time, Lord Krishna inspires Yudhishthir Maharaj to inquire from Bhishma whatever feelings he has in his heart, he wants to tell. Like some of us have experienced also in our lives, that sometimes we ask a devotee one question and we get some answer but not satisfied. Then the same person you will find, you will go to another place, another devotee, another situation, you will ask the same question. Isn't it? We have practical experience of this. But there are people sometimes, they ask dozen people the same question. Of course, in our conditioned stage, we may like to accept the answer that we like to accept. But I didn't say it in that context. In what context I was saying? I was saying that sometimes we get answers, but they don't touch our heart, even if they touch our intellect. Many times. Sometimes neither it touches your heart or the intellect. You just don't agree with the answer given. Here, and the Lord is inspiring him to go to Bhishma, and Bhishma speaks such wisdom to Yudhishthir Maharaj that Yudhishthir is able to appreciate. He becomes pacified. So many, many verses have been covered, and one verse here, he is saying, O King, no one knows the plan of the Lord Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. In the previous verse, there was a mention about Kala. Like Prabhupada gave a very, very powerful purport in that. He said, despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons, under the direction of supervision of Lord Krishna, five things. The Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. You see, despite the pious Yudhishthir Maharaj, despite the chivalrous power of the Pandavas like the Arjuna and Bhima, despite the expert management of Nakula and Sahadev, who were always full of ideas, they were very brilliant in expertise, despite the weapons that they had, like the celestial weapons that Arjuna got from the heavens, which no one had. That was very special, unique. He had got Pashupatastra from Lord Shiva. He had got from Indra, his own father, he had got some special weapons. So despite all these things, still the Pandavas suffered so many reversals in their life. So why? That is only due to kala. So sometimes the word kala appears to be as if it's some dead entity, like a stone, or something that is speechless, something that is silent, and which makes the things move. That is how it generally appears in the Vedas when one reads about kala. Kala is also in other places called as daiva. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye. According to the daiva, daiva means daiva netrena, it is said. The daiva has eyes. Is it some eye in the sky that is watching and making things move, making things act, silently offering the fruits of everyone's actions according to good karma, bad karma, offering fruits? Who is that person? Is that a person or is it some kind of entity? Is it Yamaraj? Is it Durga Devi? Is it... who is it? So this kala is none other than Krishna himself. Kalosmyaham lokachayakrit pavriddho. Krishna has revealed it in Bhagavad Gita. I am the very same kala. For those who don't believe in Krishna, for them Krishna is called as kala. For those who accept Krishna, Krishna is Krishna. That's the only difference. So those who refuse to accept the superiority of the Lord and surrender to him, the Lord says, you don't want to see me in this way, okay, you can see me in a different way as kala. So one boy was asking, one student was asking, you people always portray Krishna as a very sweet god, you know, who is a who is playing flute in Vrindavan, who is wearing a peacock feather and is always very loving to his devotees. This is too much of sweetness. It's boring. So God doesn't have the other side. So I was telling him, God has the other side also. You want to see the ugly face of God? That is the Virat Rupa, Vishwarupa Darshan. Where the Lord is showing all his teeth. And the teeth are crushing the skulls of the Kaurava army people entering into the mouth of the Vishwarupa. And when the skulls are crushed, blood is coming out. And the Vishwarupa, ghastly looking faces, they are licking. The tongue is coming out and licking those blood droplets coming out of the mouth. So Arjuna was frightened seeing this horrible sight. So no one can see such a horror even in the worst of the horror movies. Such was the horror of Vishwarupa. Soldier like Arjuna was trembling, can you imagine? Arjuna was the number one Kshatriya, the champion among Kshatriyas in the whole world in his times. And he was trembling. What has become of any of us? So, Lord has a very horrible looking form also. Like the chest of the Lord is religion. The back of the Lord is a religion. Krishna is never one-sided. His supremacy is both-sided. Aniyo Raniyan Mahato Mahiyan. It is said. Lord is the greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. Jiva can neither be the smallest nor be the greatest. Two extremities can be there only in Krishna. Only he can do that. So, Lord says, I am that kala by which I influence all the living entities. For my devotees, I am also kala, but I come as Krishna for my devotees. For those who are materialists, I come as kala. And there are people who are in between. For them, the Lord may come as Yamaraj. And there are some people who may be more elevated. For them, the Lord comes as Paramatma. Paramatma is also called as the Daiva. Daiva Netrena. Because people do not know that Krishna is the source of Paramatma. So for them, the Lord is called as, the Kala is actually Paramatma, the super soul, who is Antaryami, who is the awarder of different fruits according to one's action. But ultimately, all the different types of agents which you are talking about, like the super soul or the Yamaraj or the death personified and all these things, they all gain their strength and power from Krishna only. Krishna is the source of all of them. Krishna is the ultimate Kala. So, what is the advantage of knowing this fact that we will appreciate in the today's verse, what we are reading here? So here, Prabhupada explains that Yudhishthira Maharaj is bewildered here. over his past sinful acts and resultant sufferings and all that. And Bhishma is giving explanation. And Prabhupada is saying here how many, many great sages and saints have sometimes inquired about certain things which they will not be able to come to a 100% understanding of God, because God is inconceivable. Before understanding how Krishna is inconceivable, we have to understand how Krishna's energies are inconceivable. Srila Prabhupada explains how the foolish scientists, they propose that wonderful things are happening by chance. So Prabhupada is asking, for example, in a computer you type a button. You type a button A. Immediately it comes on the screen A. Is it by chance it's coming? Or you type some words on the keyboard, it appears on the screen. There is some arrangement made. There is some connection, there is some arrangement made by which it's happening. Or an event is happening in one place and it is telecasted some, 2000 miles away. And somebody can see it very clearly on a TV screen. So it's not happening by chance. Somebody may say, by chance somehow we are seeing what's happening in Japan. No. There is some arrangement made. It's there. Prabhupada gives a very simple example. He says that, somebody came to him for some money, for some purpose. So Prabhupada would only, grant the money. He would not let anyone grant. So he took a small chitta paper and he wrote something and gave. And that fellow went and gave to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, and Shyam Sundar Prabhu granted him some $1,000. Now Prabhupada says, somebody foolishly may say, if some ordinary servant takes that small chitta paper, and as soon as he gives that paper to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, immediately gives him $1,000. So if he says that this small chitta paper produced that $1,000, if somebody says, it's foolishness. Because there is something in that chit which made Shyam Sundar Prabhu grant that money. Isn't it? There is Prabhupada's signature there. Grant him $1,000. And he gives that money. Similarly, Prabhupada says in the material nature, many wonderful things are happening because there is Krishna's signature in every one of those things. Otherwise, material nature will not produce grains. Material nature will not produce fruits. She will not produce all the necessary ingredients for all the living beings. It's not possible. Krishna has sanctioned. When Krishna sanctions, things happen. That's why in the first canto, Prabhupada writes one very famous sentence. That is why the greatness of a king is to take refuge under the shelter of the Lord. If you take shelter of the Lord, then everything will happen in the world. So, Prabhupada gives an example. Just like you see a child is in the mother's womb and the umbilical cord is connecting to the mother's body. And whatever the mother is eating, from the umbilical cord it's going to the child also, giving nourishment to the child. Is it not a very great arrangement? Which scientist can imitate this arrangement and create such a child? Similarly, man is a very complex machine, man's body. Woman's body is a very complex machine. And when these two machines unite, they produce another third complex machine. Isn't it? So is it by chance? Just as when scientists do many things, it cannot happen by chance. In the same way, in the material nature also, all these things are existing and happening. Because they are not happening by chance. There is an arrangement which is inconceivable. Inconceivable means we are ignorant. Very simple as that. But we have too much ego to admit that we are ignorant. So we say by chance. It's the easiest way of saying that I am a very intelligent man. Just like one fellow, when he went to a doctor and said, Doctor, I don't have, I want to improve my memory. I want to become a very brilliant student. I want to improve my memory. I want to increase my intelligence. So doctor said, he gave him a potato and told him, eat this for a week and then come. He said, give me 200 rupees charge. Take it from me. The fellow went. After a week, he came again. But doctor, I don't think I have improved very much. Then the doctor gave him a little bigger potato. Gave him 500 rupees. So again that fellow went back. The third week he came. Again the doctor gave him a little bit bigger potato and said, now 1,000 rupees, he said. And this boy said, what is this doctor, now by eating potatoes do you think I'll become more intelligent? Or I'll have more memory? I think you're cheating me. And the doctor laughed and said, see, just now you've become more intelligent now. isn't it? In the same manner. Yeah. So people generally will not admit that I am ignorant. But how they are ignorant can be proved. Like for example, if you very carefully observe how the inventions were done in the field of science, they go from one platform of ignorance to another platform of ignorance. Maybe the second platform may be considered a superior. Isn't it? Graham Bell, when he found the first time the sound, isn't it? How the sound was produced, you were speaking in one room, in one box, and then in another room the sound is magnified there. How much trouble and trials they underwent in order to come up with that one truth. Now we are speaking on the phone, now we can make it, we can make replica, a million replicas we can make, once that is found out, isn't it? Now sound system companies are there which can make thousands and millions of sound boxes. Anybody can do that. But try to imagine very first time when man discovered how to magnify the sound, isn't it? So they were certainly in ignorance. So if you look the nature around, everything is inconceivable in nature, which means everything is happening in a miraculous way. For Krishna it is not a miracle, but for us it's a miracle because we don't know what things are existing in the nature. And every time a scientist comes up with something, now we have found out. That means I was ignorant before, now I know how things are functioning. So now I can't confidently say that what I know now is ultimate. Maybe there is some better understanding. Like Prabhupada is saying, take a flower. Prabhupada was picking up a flower and showed, which was kept in a vase. Not a real flower, but an artificial flower. He said, just see this flower. First of all, in order to make this flower, how much scientists must work hard? You need the ingredients, you need the paper, or nylon sheet or something you need. You need the color, you need the artist, and you need someone to paint the flower, someone to make the... So you need brain also to make the flower petals in a proper way. And then they also imitate the nature by putting some dew drops, by sprinkling some polyvinyl, droplets on the top. In order to do all these things, you need brain, you need ingredients, you need artist, you need a paint, you need a paper, all these things. Even to make this nonsense flower, you need so many things, Prabhupada is saying. But how much more will be needed to make the flower that you see in the nature, that is so tender, so soft, so fragrant, from a common man's point of view. But from a biologist's point of view, there is so much truth to be known. You take a flower petal, you ask any agricultural engineer, they will tell you more. Ask Sriripu or somebody. They will tell you, they study cytoplasm, protoplasm, nucleus. You can go into the details of what the cell contains. So, one has to know that even the material energy of Krishna is inconceivable. So, Krishna explains in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that the whole material energy is dependent on Him for its functioning. But He is yet aloof from it. Now, in another verse, Krishna says that I enter into material energy. He says, Gama vishyacha bhutani dharayam yahamo jasa. He says, I enter into the material energy and I sustain it. It is because of my entering into material energy, the material energy is sustained. Otherwise, it's not possible. For example, all of us are now sitting on the ground. It's because there is a law of gravitation pull from the center of the earth which is pulling us, isn't it? Otherwise, you will not be able to sit on the ground. Now, one has to analytically understand how important it is, this pull. If this pull were not there, you are one flying object and the earth is another flying object and both will be flying. You will always be in imbalance. You cannot be sitting like this comfortably. Similarly, if one passes stool, nothing will come to the ground. It will stick to the back. Yeah, there is no gravitational pull. Every time there will be a big trouble to remove it. Yeah. You can imagine. So, Krishna says, it is me who has entered into all the planets and all the atoms and everything, and I have made this universe function in a certain way by which people are able to live a peaceful life. In every level we can see that. Like for example, we feel attraction towards things. Why? Because there is Krishna element in it. Otherwise we won't feel attraction. Why parents feel attraction to children? Why a man feels attraction for a woman? Why in every species one body is attracted to another body? It is all simply dead substance, because Krishna has entered into everything in this creation. That is why Krishna says, Aham kratur aham yajna svadaham aham aushadam mantroham aham evajyam aham agnir aham hutam pitaham asya jagato mata dat. I am your father, I am your mother, I am your grandfather. If somebody may be more attracted to grandfather, because they stay in grandfather's home during their college time, you know. They are very little attached to mother. Krishna says, pitaham asya jagato mata dhata pitamah. Everything is I am pitamah also, I am pitamah also. If you say you are more attached to grandfather, I am your grandfather also. I am a great grandfather also. I am Brahma also. I am the creator of everything. So there is nothing Krishna leaves there in the 9th chapter. If you are attracted to anything in this world, Krishna says, I am that. He says, yeah. So he has entered into everything. That is why Krishna is the very essence of everything in this creation. The beauty or the strength or the intelligence. It's not that Krishna is the intelligence of the most intelligent. What about those who are less intelligent? That is also Krishna only. But Krishna says, I am the intelligence of the most intelligent, because we are generally attracted to those who are most intelligent. That's why he says that. Actually, he is the intelligence and strength of every living entity. Like that. So, Krishna has so completely permeated the whole creation, and yet he says, I am aloof. That's the greatest miracle. What does this mean? It means that the material nature does not pose any burden on him. For example, if a man is married, he has a wife and children, he cannot say, I am aloof. Because, you know, he has to feed the wife and children. You know, he has to maintain a house. He has to pay the electricity bill. He has to pay the water bill. He has to go to the job, earn money, and, you know, take care of the dependents. But how is it that Krishna has the material nature depending on him, but he is completely aloof? Because Krishna has his energies with which he runs the whole universe very easily. So he says, material nature is not aloof from me, but I am aloof from material nature. The material nature is run just like a wealthy man can dismantle any number of houses in Pune. If he has got 20 bungalows in Pune, he will be sitting in one house very peacefully while the other bungalows are dismantled and erected. And that doesn't cause any pollution to him or disturbance to him. He is in his own house very happily. So Krishna says he is completely aloof. So at the same time, Krishna, it's not that Krishna is udaseen, he has no interest in the material world. You know what is his interest? Krishna's interest is to see that the living entities wanted a separate place to enjoy. And he has provided them the place. And he creates the material world very meticulously, in order to fulfill all their minutest of the independent desires, so that they can enjoy. So he supervises the job, but he doesn't become attached to it. He is just a maya adi akshena prakriti. He watches everything, but he is not attached to it. He is completely aloof. So, in this way, the material nature is inconceivable, which Krishna has created. How much more Krishna must be inconceivable? Now, there is one step ahead, Krishna says. Just see my connectedness and non-connectedness with the living entity also. You see, this kind of detachment you will never find anywhere that Krishna exhibits. Like Krishna has sent all the living entities into the material world, and they are utterly dependent on him for their food, clothing, shelter, their very survival. They are dependent on him. But Krishna says, I have given them independence. How Krishna can give independence to the living entities who are completely dependent on him? So he gives an example in Bhagavad Gita. Yatha kashastito nityam vayu sarvatra gomaha. He says, the sky is like upside down bowl inside which there is air flowing. The movement of the air is not restricted. Only the periphery within which the air can move, that is restricted. Similarly, Krishna says, the living entities can be hero, although they are only zeros. They can claim to be heroes within the purview of the material world. Let them take millions of bodies in millions of species. Let them dance. Let them do whatever nonsense they want. But all that In order for them to do, I have given them independence within the purview of the material world. I am not restricting their independence. In fact, I become a super soul and assist them in their enjoyment. Assist them in their enjoyment. I don't demand that they have to assist my enjoyment. I assist the living entities in their leela, so-called leela, where they are rotting in the material world. So Lord says, and then let them go on doing their activities in the material world. Whenever they want to come back to spiritual world, they can come back. In this way, I have allowed the living entities full independence. At the same time, they are dependent on me for their food. Even an atheist, in order to talk ill of me, he has to eat the grains that I give him. You know, you can imagine. So I give so much of support. So in this way, Krishna says, just see my mystic opulence, Arjuna. How I am detached from this living entities. Just see my connectedness and non-connectedness with the living entities also. This is highly inconceivable. Now Arjuna may ask a question. Krishna, now you have given this example to me. Upside down bowl, the sky and the wind. So now that means your truth about you is no more inconceivable. Isn't it? Because the inconceivable, when it is explained in black and white, it becomes conceivable. But then Vishwachakrita Thakur says, no, it is still inconceivable. You know why? Because neither the sky nor the wind are living entities. They both are dead matter. And matter doesn't develop attachment to matter. But the spirit does. Like for example, mother's attachment to child or a husband's attachment to wife. These attachments are there. Why? Are the dead bodies matter? Because there is Atma. The spirit has a nature to develop attachment. Krishna is also living entity. We are also living entities, but Krishna is supreme living entity. And naturally there is attachment. But it's certainly inconceivable how the Lord can allow the living entities to be independent of Him like this and yet be detached, supplying them all the necessary ingredients for their enjoyment. That is inconceivable. So if one has to become a counselor or a leader, we have to learn from Krishna what is this detachment He is talking about. That means we should be able to give enough independence for the people to grow gradually in Krishna consciousness and not try to shape them up within a very short time to make them become pure devotees overnight. Yeah, that kind of maturity is required. So the Lord is Himself teaching from His own example. So that is why the Lord is very inconceivable in His connection to the living entities. Now, after understanding the nature, inconceivable nature of the material world and inconceivable nature of Lord, then one can come to the platform of appreciating how the Lord deals with His devotees and how the devotees consider the Lord's activities very inconceivable. Like for example, Kunti Maharani is praying several verses which are called as bewilderment verses, we call it. Tadatyanda vidambanam, she says, isn't it? Na veda kaschid bhagavam sikirshitam taveha manasya nrinam vidambanam. See, she says vidambanam. Nayasya kaschid dahitosti karhichit dveshyaschayasmin vishama mater nrinam. My dear Krishna, you have no friend or no enemies in this world. But yet the dveshis or the envious people think you are inimical to Shishupala and Duryodhana and you are having a bias towards Arjuna and Yudhishthir. That is because of their foolishness. But for you, everyone is like a child. You love everyone equally. So she is saying about the bewilderment that the living entities feel. And she says, not only the living entities are bewildered, Krishna, even I am myself bewildered seeing your activities, she is saying. When Yashodamai, the supreme gopi, leader amongst all the elderly gopis, when she takes a stick in her hand to chastise you, punish you for stealing butter, when there are tears in your eyes and your masakra mixes with the tears and it flows down and you are rubbing your eyes with your hands. When I see this sight, that's a very bewildering sight, she is saying. Why? Krishna's activities are bewildering even to the greatest of the demigods and the sages. Muhyanti yat surayaha. The very first verse of Bhagavatam says that. Gives a warning. Even great Brahma became bewildered by Krishna's activities in Vrindavan. Even Indra became bewildered and he was pouring down rains. Prabhupada is asking in one of his interviews, Brahma is the creator of the universe. He became bewildered. Why can't the modern scientists become bewildered? Isn't it? We are so tiny living entities. Why can't we become bewildered? If Brahma himself is the great of the universe, he becomes bewildered. So, such great demigods who cannot be easily bewildered. Like one Swami in India said, I am the same Rama, I am the same Krishna, he said. But people like Brahma, they will never become fooled by such so-called Swamis claiming to be Rama and Krishna. Because Brahma is called as Kavaya, Adi Kavai. Kavi means one who is a very intelligent person. But Lord says, even such Kavis, Muhyanti Yatsureha, even such Kavis, those are most learned, they can become bewildered by seeing the Lord's activities. And what is the bewilderment? Because the Lord behaves like ordinary human being. You know, he is offering namaskar to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is embracing Arjuna, he is clasping the hands of Nakula Sahadev, and he is moving about in this world. Like that verse says, Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimartyani bhagavan guda kapatamanushaha. Guda kapatamanushaha. Sometimes in a drama, nobody can say who is this person wearing a beard and a mustache and long jata. Nobody can guess. But in a drama sometimes, as soon as a person starts speaking, you hear his tone and all people will start guessing in the audience. Hey, this fellow must be so and so. Who is acting in this particular role, isn't it? But sometimes the person changes his voice also. Like one devotee, he is in Pune nowadays, on Savesachi Prabhu. Isn't it? He is from Bombay. What is his name? Sachitanuja Prabhu. He acted in the drama of Haridas Thakur as a prostitute. And everyone thought it's a woman. If you see, you will not believe. If you see the drama. And he changed his voice also. He was speaking exactly in the tone of a female, and he had also dressed like a female, and all the gestures, bodily gestures he was showing was exactly like a female. Nobody knew who it was. Until later on, after the drama was over, everyone ran to the stage to see when he removed his veshabhusha and everything, then they understood who it was. So this is Guda Kapata Manusha. Similarly, Krishna also, you know, he puts a role like ordinary human being, then the living entities easily get bewildered. Anyway, they are bewildered. Even with material energy, they are bewildered. Why will they not get bewildered with Krishna's activities? They say, you see, Krishna has only two hands, you know. So he cannot be God. You know, when Kali is having 10 hands, they say, maybe that is God. So Krishna can easily bewilder the common living entities. And Krishna is standing with Radharani, Srimati Radharani. Somebody was coming and telling in our temple, why you are not having, Rukmini Satyabhama, why you are having, Radharani is only Krishna's lover, But Rukmini Satyabhama are his consorts, You should have, one fellow was telling, So nobody can understand, Krishna having loving affairs with the gopis of Vrindavan, who are the supreme devotees. So this can be very bewildering, even to great demigods like Brahma, Indra, like that. Now what to speak of devotees? So Prabhupada is comparing Kunti with Yashodamayi. And Prabhupada is saying Yashodamayi is superior to Kunti. Because there are three stages. One is a stage completely ignorant, like a fool, not able to understand God or His glories. The higher stage is a stage where we appreciate the inconceivable nature of the Lord. Oh Lord, you are inconceivable, I cannot understand you, but I know that you are very great. You are very difficult to understand. I think I understand a little bit, but I can't understand it totally. That is inconceivable stage. And the highest stage is you surrender to that inconceivability. And you become a part. Like Prabhupada says here, the best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. When Yashodamayi asked Krishna to open the mouth, and Krishna opened the mouth and she saw all the universes in his mouth, what did Yashodamayi do? Immediately she fell on the ground and surrendered to Krishna. Prabhupada says, this is intelligence. When you see Krishna's greatness, when Krishna says, Daivi Hesha Gunavayi Mama Maya Duratya, my material energy is inconceivable, very difficult to overcome, my dear Arjuna. As soon as one hears it, immediately one should fall on hands and knees at Krishna's feet and catch hold of Krishna's feet and say, Krishna, I know that your material nature is very difficult to overcome, you offer me your shelter. That is intelligence. Not that you challenge Krishna. So Krishna, you are saying it is very difficult to overcome. Now I will show how I am a hero. So you try to fight with the material energy on your own strength. It's like a, it's like a small, sometimes you know, children catch this, butterflies or, other flies, and they tie with a rope. You've seen that? They tie with a rope or they put it in a box. You've seen that? Yeah, they just cannot come out. In your childhood, you must have played like that, isn't it? When you put a, sometimes you put a fly or something inside the box and you completely have closed. It's a glass box and you're watching the fun. Unless you open the box, it has no ability to come out. It cannot come out of its own. Similarly, Krishna has made the material energy and he has appointed Durga to act, and she is acting under his will. Unless Krishna gives a sanction to, through Durga, tells Durga that, release this suffering soul. He has surrendered to me. There is no possibility. That's why one should surrender to Krishna. Now Kunti Maharani is saying that it is bewildering, and there are also many other examples in Shastras where people have become bewildered, not understanding Krishna's desire. But higher platform is to surrender, just like Yashodamayi surrendered. Papa says Yashodamayi enjoyed the loving pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan by treating Krishna as a child. Even the Devaki Vasudev, their relationship with Krishna is not considered in par with Yashodamayi's relationship with Krishna. Yashodamayi and Nanda Maharaj are faster, mother and father. But their love for Krishna is considered far more intense and thicker compared to the love of Devaki and Vasudev. Of course, Devaki and Vasudev also had very, very great love for Krishna. You know, when Krishna was born, Devaki had such intense love for Krishna that she prayed to the Lord. My dear Lord, suddenly you are appearing in this 400 form. You know, when the people of the world see that I have got a child like this, they will laugh at me. How did you get such a big child? And from birth only he is holding Shankha Chakra, Gada, Padma, everything. Not only that, if you are in this form, Kamsa may come and kill you. And please kindly become a very small child, I can hide you somewhere. Within the chambers of the jail, let me hide you somewhere secretly. So even if Kamsa comes, we will say there was no child born. Can hide you. And Krishna smiled, he understood the fear that arose in the heart of Devaki out of intense love for Krishna. So there can be fear out of love. There can be anger out of love. The source of all this, like Satyabhama's anger is arising out of love for Krishna. Like that. Rukmini's anger arising in the heart of Rukmini. Rukmini is telling Krishna that don't eat this chipped rice anymore. She wants to snatch it from Krishna's hands when Sudama is offering him chipped rice. Only one morsel Krishna ate and Rukmini snatched off the rest of it. Because she thought, what will happen to the Lord's tender stomach? He will get indigestion, she thought. Of course, Krishna has no veins or no intestines inside his stomach. His body is completely spiritual. But in love, the devotees feel such concern for the Lord. So Devaki felt such concern for saving Krishna. And Krishna also found, Vasudeva is also joining Devaki in her fear. Vasudeva is also equally fearful. Although Vasudeva said, my dear Lord, I can understand how you must have appeared from the womb of Devaki. You are expanding yourself into each of the universes, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. You are only creating universe from your body as Mahavishnu, and then entering into every universe as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Similarly, you only have created all the living entities, and now you enter into the womb of Devaki and you are appearing. It is no wonder for me. But although he spoke all these things, still secretly in his heart there was a fear. What will happen if Kamsa comes? And Krishna could detect that fear in the heart of Vasudev. So Krishna ordered Vasudev, okay, put me in a basket and you take me to Gokul. So, do you think Krishna was very fearful of Kamsa, that Kamsa will come and kill me? I have to run for my life now, I have to escape from this place. No, Krishna has no fear. Nobody can kill Krishna. But Krishna does that, why? In order to please his devotees, Devaki and Vasudev. For that pressure, he agreed to perform this pastime. So these pastimes are inconceivable for ordinary people. But Yashodamayi and Nanda Maharaj, they are far more advanced in their intense love for Krishna. Because Krishna displayed all his loving pastimes of childhood, pastimes to Yashoda and Krishna in Vrindavan. So, the inconceivability, when Lord does one thing, there may be sometimes 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 purposes that he will fulfill. Like, take the example of Bhishma only. Prabhupada explains here, wise can never win over virtue. Virtue will always win. Satyameva jayate. Virtue will always win. In order to prove that, Bhishma Pitama was put on the Kaurava side. Although he was a very valiant warrior, he could not win the battle. He was defeated because he was very powerful, but he was standing on the side of Kauravas. So he was defeated. That is one purpose Lord wanted to teach to the world. Although Bhishma was very, very powerful, no matter how much the adharma people are powerful, they will not win. Lord wanted to show that. And also, Lord wanted Bhishma to fight on the other side. Why? Because Lord wanted Bhishma to keep his vow. He had taken a vow to the Kaurava race. That, you know, whoever is ruling party, I will be on their side. He had made a promise. The Kuru race was at that time ruled by Dhritarashtra, so he had to be on their side. So he had to keep the word. The Lord also wanted to show, Lord also wanted to experience the Viriras with Bhishma. He wanted to have a fight, the enjoyment that comes from fighting. Lord enjoys fighting also. So he wanted his own devotee Bhishma to go to the other side so that Lord can be on Pandava side and they can have fun, which no one could understand in the world. Well, Lord and his pure devotees can understand such things. So Lord put him on the other side. So Prabhupada writes here. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra because Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord. It was Lord's will. Because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. So in this way, Lord accomplishes many, many purposes when he does any activity. These are all inconceivable. Now, why did Vedavyas not be able to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj? Why was not Krishna himself not able to convince? Because Prabhupada explains that before. The Paramatma in the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj inspired him and gave him Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam accordingly, so that he will not be convinced by Vedavyasa or Krishna, but he will be convinced by Bhishma only. Because Lord wanted him to hear these things from Bhishma. So Lord does many, many inconceivable activities like this. Why Lord does some particular activity? Very, very difficult to understand. Like, you know, Kala Yavana is chasing the Lord and the Lord is running. Now, why should the Lord run from somebody? If you say that nobody can kill Krishna, then why should the Lord run? So that is his pastime. He is running and Kala Yavana is not able to catch him. Krishna is very casually walking and Kala Yavana is running, but still he is not able to catch. And then Lord enters into the cave where one Muchukunda is sleeping. And this Kala Yavana comes inside and sees, maybe Krishna has hid himself inside the cave. So you see somebody is sleeping there, covered with a blanket. Who was that? The Muchukunda king, who had helped demigods for many, many years to defeat the demons. And the demigods asked him at the end of the war, "Oh, pious king, we want to offer you some benediction. What do you want?" And the king said, "Oh, enough of all benedictions. I don't want anything from you." He was a great devotee of the Lord also. "I don't want any material benedictions from you. I only want to have good sleep now. I have worked very, very hard. Now semester preaching is over. I want to take rest. Give me some long rest. The only problem is somebody will come and disturb me." So he said, "Give me a benediction by which nobody can come and disturb me. If somebody comes to disturb me, wakes me up in my sleep, simply by looking at them, I can burn them to ashes." That was the benediction he wanted. So now he went inside a cave and he slept very peacefully. And that was a fellow who was sleeping covered with a blanket. When Kala Yavana came there, he thought Krishna is hiding himself under a blanket. What did he do? He gave a kick on the body of Kala Yavana. Kala Yavana immediately Muchukunda opened the blanket and he saw. And immediately Kala Yavana was burnt to ashes. So Prabhupada says, how Krishna could easily burn Kala Yavana without touching him? Isn't it very, very easily? And Krishna does wonderfully. Like when Krishna told Arjuna to hit Jayadratha, he told Arjuna, "You hit Jayadratha's head in such a way that the head will go and fall in the lap of his father," he said. And Arjuna did not ask why. He He simply executed the instruction. As soon as he did, the head of Jayadratha went and fell in the fire, lap of his father, and father's head exploded. Because that was the agreement that was made when father's benediction. Father had got a benediction that unless in this way the son of the beheaded Jayadratha's head should fall in his lap, only then his head will be beheaded. Both father and son died, both of them together. So Krishna knows the secrets, but it may be inconceivable to others, and they may not know. But then Muchukunda looked at Krishna next, because he saw, I have burnt someone, and he didn't know who it was. He didn't know it. Then he turned to Krishna, and Krishna had a very effulgent body, which was glowing like thousands of suns. And Kalarjuna looked, and then he told the Lord, my dear Lord, when I am looking at you, my eyes have lost the glare by looking at you. I am not able to burn your body. That goes to show that you are not an ordinary being. And then Muchukunda also revealed his ignorance. He said, maybe you are some demigod, because I see that you are not standing on the ground. You are standing on the lotus, which means that you must be some very special supreme being. Please tell me, who are you? And then the Lord smiled and said, my dear Muchukunda, you are my pure devotee in your previous life. And you always aspired for my darshan. And now here I am. I have come to give you darshan. So behold my beauty. So Lord gave his darshan to him. You see, the Lord did this pastime to give darshan to Muchukunda, who was his pure devotee in the previous life. He also wanted to kill Kalayavana without touching him. And he also wanted to give joy to the heart of his devotees by running away from Kalayavana and putting the heart of devotees in anxiety. Oh, now Krishna is running. What is Kalayavana going to do now? So Krishna executes so many things in one shot. In this way, Lord performs very wonderful acts. Like you see, Krishna is dancing on Kaliya, over the head of Kaliya. Why does he do that? Again, several things. Krishna is not dancing on the hood of Kaliya to kill him or destroy him or anything like that. But Krishna is doing this because he knows the wives of Kaliya, who are Nagapatnis, they are very, very great devotees. To give joy to their hearts. In fact, Nagapatis were completely sold out. When they saw, they were telling Krishna, my dear Lord, you are dancing on the hoods of our husband. He is extremely vicious and venomous and sinful. He has taken the body of a snake and he has got so much talk of venom on his mouth. But still, although he is extremely sinful, you are dancing on his head, putting the dust of your lotus feet, which are only meant for the pure devotees, and you are offering him. Certainly, this is causeless mercy. And also to the Vijayavasis, like Yashodamayi and Nanda Baba, and all the covered men and the cows and calves who are all grief-stricken with the ocean of tears in their eyes, and all of them were trying to enter into the waters of Yamuna, and Balaram stopped all of them. And Balaram was the only one laughing, who can ever be bewildered by the Lord. Even when Krishna had expanded into cows and calves, Balaram was not bewildered. He is Krishna himself. And everyone else was lamenting and mourning. And then Krishna, when he was dancing on the top of the hoods of Kaliya, very beautifully, Dagajodda, Dagadami, Dagajodda, very beautifully, Bharatanatyam he was doing. And all the demigods were also playing kettle drums and, you know, all the instruments and showering flowers. Then the Vijayavasis were chanting and dancing happily. So Krishna wanted to give joy to their hearts. So Krishna is giving joy to the Vijayavasis, he is giving joy to the pure devotees who are Nagapatnis, and Krishna is purifying Kaliya simultaneously, he is removing all the poison out of his mouth, and he is making him humble devotee. So he is also transforming, everything is happening in one shot. So Lord's activities are inconceivable. There is one step beyond this, which is not there in the purport, but I will make a small mention of it and conclude the talk today. Although Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, behold my mystic opulence. What is that verse? He says, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. My dear Arjuna, how do you like my inconceivable opulences? So not out of a sense of false pride that Krishna is saying this. Krishna knows that his devotees have absolutely no envy for him. They have no envy. Anasuyave. Idam tate guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave. Devotees have no envy for Krishna. So Krishna can heartily, openly tell devotees about his mystic opulences. He is telling Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, I am only revealing you a small fraction of my opulences. Ekamshena sitho jagat. What do you think when devotees hear these shlokas from Krishna? Their hair stand on end. Devotees will be jumping up and down to know the Krishna's opulences. By knowing the vibhuti of Krishna, our respect for Krishna will increase. And when we can respect Krishna more, by knowing Krishna's greatness and respecting Him and bowing down to Him without any reservation, gradually from Vaidhi Bhakti we can go to the Raganuga Bhakti. But then we understand, although the Lord is telling all these things to Arjuna, that I am inconceivable, I am very great, just see, all my, even demigods are bewildered, even sages are bewildered, sometimes even my devotees are bewildered. But then there is one step beyond this, which is, how devotees make Krishna bewildered. That devotee's heart is inconceivable to Krishna. That is the greatness of devotees. Like Lord Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra, when they come in the cart, what does it represent? Jagannath is actually bewildered Krishna. Why is Krishna bewildered? Or why is Krishna ecstatic like this? You can see Krishna's eyes, big, big eyes, wide open eyes, with which we place Him in the cart and we pull Him. What is the meaning of that? There's a very great significance. When Krishna had left Vrindavan and gone to Mathura, He had always been saying that I'll come back. Only 2-3 demons are there, I'll kill them and I'll come back and everything. He has not been coming. And the Vrijavasis were always lamenting. Every day they will cook and be waiting for Krishna to come, and Krishna won't come, and they will all lament in the night and go to bed. And next day morning they will again get up. It was going on like this. At one time, the Vrijavasis went to Kurukshetra, and Krishna had also come to Kurukshetra. At that time, they got to see Krishna there. And everyone, when Vrindavan had come, Yashodamayi, Nanda Baba, and Gopis, Gopas, everyone had come. They all went to meet Krishna. And Krishna had come with all His soldiers and army and everything to Kurukshetra during the eclipse time. So when the Vrijavasis came, we went to meet, and Krishna went and met everyone. Yashodamayi, Nanda Baba, and Gopas and Gopis, who are the topmost devotees. At that time, Radharani, along with other Gopis, they meet Krishna. And they look at Krishna. How Krishna looked very strange. They said, what is this strange side, Krishna? It's the same. You are the same Krishna and the same Srimati Radharani. But I don't feel any sweetness that I used to feel in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a land of cows. Vrindavan is a land of bumblebees, which are constantly humming. In Vrindavan, there are beautiful flowers and there are beautiful trees laden with fruits. And all the trees are dripping honey. In this way, Vrindavan is a very beautiful forest where you performed such simple pastimes, living as a covered boy, wearing simple pitambar, playing on your flute, wearing a peacock feather, wearing the wild forest flowers on your neck as Vaijayanti Mala, and playing with the covered boyfriends and dancing with the gopis. But now I am seeing here, you are wearing a mukut, you are wearing the armor, you are carrying the weapons, and you are standing on a chariot driven by the horses, and this whole atmosphere of the rattling chariots and the elephants making sound, this is not at all pleasing. Although it is the same mantra, month of Chaitra month, and it's a moonlit night, but we don't feel the sweetness of Vrindavan here, in this atmosphere of Kurukshetra. He said, please come back to Vrindavan. You have been always promising you will come back, you never came back. How you have forgotten your mother, how you have forgotten your father, how you have forgotten all your devotees, even the cows and the covered men and all the covered girls, everyone. Please come back to Vrindavan. So, this is a speech of Srimati Radharani which melts the heart of Krishna. And Radharani and the gopis, Krishna had sent to Uddhava earlier to teach how to perform mystic yoga by which the gopis can gradually become detached and forget Krishna. So the gopis chastised Uddhava. They said, what is this? You are coming to teach a Sankhya? We have sat in meditation and tried hard to remove the Lord from our heart, but we could not remove, they said. Generally, people meditate in mystic yoga in order to remember the super soul in the heart. But the gopis are trying to remove the Lord, but they couldn't remove. So the gopis were so mad and ecstasy for Krishna. So here, when the gopis sat in meditation, they all told Srimati Radharani that we will assist you to get Krishna back to Vrindavan. When Krishna sees the mood of the Vrijavasis, who are all in a mood to, they are bent upon taking him back to Vrindavan. He is remembering his old days in Vrindavan. as a covered boy, how he used to go for herding the cows and calves, and all those things come to his mind, one after another, the flashback. And then Krishna gets bewildered. By the love of his devotees, he is unable to refuse. When devotees are demanding, the Lord becomes sold out to the love of his devotees. And in this way, devotees are so great, that's why Radharani is called as Madana Mohana Mohini. Krishna is called as Madan Mohan, Radharani is called as Madan Mohan Mohini. That devotee's heart is inconceivable to Krishna also. Although Krishna is inconceivable to all the living entities of the material world, but the devotee's heart is inconceivable to Krishna also. That is why, is Krishna supreme or is Srimati Radharani supreme? Neither of them is supreme. The love between them is supreme. The love between Lord and the living beings stands supreme. Because that love binds the Lord and living beings together and stands as the supreme existence in the spiritual world, because of which the Lord and the devotees can go on and on for unlimited number of years or eternity. Spiritual world exchanging such love. So the Lord is inconceivable and the devotee's heart is inconceivable. And the mutual exchange of love between them keeps them bound together like this. So, of course, here in this particular purport, Prabhupada talks about Krishna's inconceivable plans, which he makes, by which innumerable pastimes spring from it. And the Lord arranges all these things. So Prabhupada says, you know, the Pandava's wife, Draupadi, you know, she was insulted. The Pandavas were driven to the forest. Their kingdom was seized away by illegal means, by a gambling match. And the Pandavas underwent so many difficulties in the forest. And Ardhamuni is asking Krishna, my dear Lord, what is the secret that even after the Pandavas underwent all these difficulties, still they have love for you? Because you are only doing all these things. Pandavas also know very well. They must have started developing hatred for you. But then we see that they still love for you. How is it that you have such a magnetic personality, that you attract the Pandavas towards yourself so much? And Krishna's answer was only a smile. And the explanation to that smile is, Lord's activities are inconceivable. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.